This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, January 26, 2017. Coming up this hour,
a $30 billion deal in the pharmaceutical industry is getting done after more than 2 months of talks.
Royal Bank of Scotland gets hit with a $3.8 billion charge over a mortgage securities probe.
Shares of eBay surge after an optimistic outlook for the new year.
President Trump has advanced his plan to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Meanwhile, Mexico says it's not paying for the wall. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Amid reports the Knicks are trying to trade Carmelo Anthony. They lost in Dallas. Nets blew a lead, lost to Miami. Rangers got shut out. The Williams sisters have reached the Australian Open final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by UNC Kenan Flagler's full-time MBA program, UNC Kenan Flagler, Shaping Leaders, Driving Results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu.
It's 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 39, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.54%. The yield on the 2-year 1.24%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 16 cents to $52.91 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $5.50 to $11.95 an ounce. The euro $1.0721 and the yen 114.28.
The talking's over. Johnson & Johnson has agreed to buy Actelion for $30 billion, a move that sent shares of the Swiss drug maker up 20% in Zurich. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with details. Good morning, John.
And good morning to you, Bob. The deal has been months in the making, with Johnson & Johnson first approaching Actelion about a possible takeover in November. The acquisition will be J&J's largest ever and is relatively expensive compared to recent industry takeovers. J&J will spin off the Swiss drugmaker's research and development operations to Actelion shareholders as a new publicly traded company, with J&J keeping a 16% stake. Today's purchase price, 23% above yesterday's closing level for Actelion shares. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We are getting earnings results from some prominent European companies this morning. For more on trading in the region, we bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Matt Miller, live from our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. I want to highlight the pound, first of all, now down against the dollar to 1.2619. It had been up against the dollar at 1.2673 before British GDP figures came out better than expected at 2.2% in the fourth quarter. By the way, if you lend your money to the British government for 10 years, you can expect to receive 1.503% in return on the continent. If you lend your money to the German government for 10 years, you can expect to get 0.483% interest. As far as equities are concerned, we have gains across the board after the records in the U.S. carried through to gains in Asia, and now the FTSE is up 0.1% at 71.73, the CAC in Paris up 0.25% at 48.89, and the DAX in Frankfurt up 0.5% at 11,861. In stock stories, Ericsson reported higher fourth quarter revenue than analysts had been predicting, offering some relief to the new CEO, Börje Ekholm, as he tries to stabilize the Swedish network maker. That stock jumped as much as 7%. And then RBS said it will take a £3.1 billion charge in its fourth quarter results. That's currently $3.8 billion, as the lender used other banks' settlements to try and estimate the impact from a U.S. probe into sales of mortgage securities. RBS also told its bankers that their bonus pool will be smaller this year than last. Matt Miller, Bloomberg Daybreak, Berlin.
Thank you, Matt. Results also in from Unilever this morning. The consumer goods company's sales missed estimates for the fourth quarter. In an interview with Bloomberg, CEO Paul Polman said tough conditions in emerging markets like India and Brazil weighed on results.
Fourth quarter is only 90 days, and we've had the full effect of this demonetization in India, which has really severely affected the market there. Many people are reporting on that. We have a very big business in India, and likewise, Brazil is going through a very tough time, and we have a big business in Brazil.
And shares of Unilever are currently trading down 3.8% in London.
Meanwhile, Scandinavia's biggest bank is reporting fourth quarter profit that rose 30%. Nordea Bank's results were boosted by increased income from fees and commissions. Chief Executive Kasper von Koskull spoke to Bloomberg following the results and says the bank is learning to cope with negative interest rates.
We've already been operating in negative rate environment for the last 2 years, so that is not the thing that concerns me. I think the real concern maybe for all of us is more geopolitical events and the spillover to the economy.
And shares of Nordea of 4.2% in Stockholm.
Yet another European bank is exploring options for moving staff from London as the UK exits the European Union. According to people familiar with the matter, Credit Suisse is considering expanding its operations in Dublin. The Irish capital is said to be emerging as a favorite location for back office jobs at Credit Suisse, although a final decision has not yet been made.
Here in the U.S., eBay is reviving investor confidence, forecasting revenue for 2017. That topped analyst estimate. Shares of the e-commerce company are up 7.3% in early trading following the announcement. Bloomberg's Charlie Pillett reports.
It shows a rebranding campaign and data initiative to elevate the online marketplace's prominence among shoppers could pay off in the year ahead. eBay says sales in the current fiscal year will be $9.3 to $9.5 billion. Analysts on average estimated $9.35 billion. eBay is looking to accelerate sales growth on its marketplace to catch up with Amazon.com and compete with brick-and-mortar retailers that have been migrating online. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Shares of Qualcomm are trading lower this morning in early trading after the company said sales and profit for the current quarter may miss estimates. The forecast comes as the chipmaker works to complete its acquisition of NXP Semiconductors, ignite growth in a slowing smartphone market, and fend off a legal dispute with Apple. S&P E-mini futures currently up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. And this is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. President Trump lays out his plans for the wall. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump signed an executive order to jumpstart construction of his promised U.S.-Mexico border wall.
A nation without borders is not a nation. Beginning today, the United States of America gets back control of its borders, gets back its borders.
Trump spoke during a visit yesterday at the Department of Homeland Security. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto says he rejects the decision, adding, "I have said time and again, Mexico will not pay for any wall." Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says if necessary, he will use City Hall to shelter residents who feel threatened by actions announced by President Trump targeting so-called sanctuary cities. Walsh's comments come after White House spokesman Sean Spicer said the administration will strip federal grants from the sanctuary states and cities that harbor illegal immigrants. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the order won't change how the city works.
The stroke of a pen in Washington does not change the people of New York City or our values, does not change how this city government protects its people.
Seattle's Mayor Ed Murray.
January 25th, 2017. This is the darkest day in immigration history in America since the internment of the Japanese Americans during the Second World War.
President Trump wants to stop accepting Syrian refugees and will suspend the U.S. broader refugee program for 120 days. That's according to a draft executive order obtained by the Associated Press. The draft also shows the U.S. suspending visas for people from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, or Yemen for at least 30 days. British Prime Minister Theresa May will visit the U.S. May will address the annual Congressional Republican Retreat in Philadelphia today. Bloomberg will carry May's address live this afternoon starting at 3:30 p.m. Wall Street time. May will also meet President Trump tomorrow. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Williams sisters still going strong. Venus is now 36 years old, Serena 35, and they will play each other in the Australian Open final, the ninth all-Williams final in the Grand Slam. It hadn't happened since 2009, and Roger Federer is trying to reach the men's final at 35. He's playing his semifinal match now with fellow Swede Stan Wawrinka. Federer won the first two sets, now leads 2-1 as they play the fourth. The Knicks met with Carmelo Anthony last week to talk about his future in New York. If reports are accurate, they are serious about at least attempting to trade him, with a report of an offer made to Cleveland, Melo for Kevin Love, and the Cavs said no, which all came as news to Anthony.
If they want to go in a different direction, that's something I have to consider. You know, I think I would have to consider that. So, like I say, all the talk that's going on right now, that's out of my control. Like, nobody called me, nobody got in contact with anybody. My representation, anything like that. So it's something I don't worry about.
Another Knicks loss, 103-95 in Dallas. Melo scored 30, but none in the fourth quarter. The Knicks did themselves in with 8 turnovers. Dallas only had 7 for the game. Brutal loss for the Nets. They were up 18 in the fourth quarter. Back came Miami to win 109-106. Brook Lopez, 33 points for Brooklyn. He had 26 at the half. Tomorrow, the Nets host Cleveland. What's up with the Cavs? Home loss in overtime to Sacramento. Defending NBA champs have dropped 6 of their last 8. They still lead the East only because Toronto has lost 5 in a row. The Raptors fell in Memphis. At the Garden, Rangers and Flyers scoreless until Philly tallied a pair in the third period to end the Rangers' 3-game win streak 2-0. College hoops saw St. John's win at Providence 91-86. Marcus Lovett, 26 points. Seton Hall lost at home to Butler 61-54. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you, John. Elsewhere in sports, a Chinese company is investing in an English Premier League soccer team. Lander Sports Development has agreed to buy a stake in the English Premier team Southampton. People familiar with the matter said late last year that talks between the two were for an investment of about $250 million. Should the deal be completed, Southampton would be the fourth English Premier team sold to Chinese investors. The pound trading at $1.2618 this morning. That's down 0.1%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, dedicated to bringing our clients insights and solutions to meet the challenges of a transforming world. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith, Incorporated. Member SIPC.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Wheels Up. It's time to up the way you fly with Wheels Up, the most intelligent way to fly private. To learn more, visit wheelsup.com or call 855-FLY-8760. 617 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Johnson & Johnson has finally reached a deal to acquire Swiss biotech company Actelion. The $30 billion deal represents a hefty premium for Actelion compared with recent deals in the industry. Alphabet, Microsoft, and Intel report earnings today. Analysts will focus on revenue growth at Alphabet, while cloud computing will be a focus for Intel and Microsoft. Facebook is hiring former Xiaomi executive Hugo Barra to lead its virtual reality efforts. Barra quit Xiaomi earlier this week after leading the company's international expansion for the past 4 years. And Hampton's vacation home prices and sales have tumbled since November's U.S. election, as potential buyers held off on big purchases. Miller Samuel says luxury purchases, defined as deals of $5 million or more, are down 40% from last year in the fourth quarter. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. Fiat Chrysler expects debt to fall by at least 45% this year as the carmaker enters the final stretch of a plan to turn liabilities into cash by selling more expensive autos. Potash of Saskatchewan, the fertilizer retailer that's planning to merge with Agrium, posting fourth quarter earnings that missed analyst estimates, and Southwest Airlines reported fourth quarter profit that beat analysts' estimates. Futures this morning, little change to higher with S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 32, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 10, DAX in Germany's up 0.5%, the 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 19 cents to $52.94 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $5.60 to $11.94.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0724, the yen, 114.24. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the final death toll from Italy's devastating avalanche stands at 29 after the last bodies were pulled out of the rubble of a hotel crushed by tons of snow last week. Nine people were pulled out alive in the first days of the rescue in central Italy. Mexico's president is considering canceling next week's visit to Washington following President Trump's order to begin building a wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. Tributes have been pouring in for TV icon Mary Tyler Moore. Former co-star Dick Van Dyke tweeted that she was the best. Moore died yesterday at age 80. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks and the Nets lost. The Celtics and the Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers were shut out by the Flyers 2-0. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, we all know the Super Bowl ads get super hype and will be watched by a huge audience. Snickers will air what it calls the first ever live broadcast of a Super Bowl commercial. Bob, according to the New York Post, a stunt during the ad will involve Star Wars actor Adam Driver and a horse.
You know, I do have to admit that two of my fave Super Bowl commercials of all time were Snickers spots, the ones with Betty White and Abe Vigoda.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, though. You know, I just realized, here we go again. We're giving that candy bar free advertising just because they're advertising during the Super Bowl.
Well, Star Wars actor Adam Driver and a horse. May the horse be with you. I didn't get it. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And it's 6:22 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. UK Prime Minister Theresa May visiting the United States. Let's bring in Dan Hansen, Bloomberg Intelligence economist, the UK economist, joining us from our London newsroom. Hey, good morning to you, Dan. Does Theresa May bring with her any further clarity on Brexit?
Oh, good morning. Well, I think the answer to that, in short, is no. Things are moving along, but they're moving along very slowly. We had her speech last week where we set out her vision. She's promised the UK Parliament that she'll set out her negotiation strategy in a white paper, sort of a big document that the parliamentarians will be able to look at and see her strategy. But we really don't know. Article 50 still looks like it will be triggered at the end of March. But, you know, there are two sides in every negotiation. So things are moving along, but clarity isn't really there yet.
Well, so much for Brexit having a negative impact on the UK economy.
No, absolutely. I mean, we had GDP growth this morning for the fourth quarter, the final quarter of 2016. It came in at 0.6%. Now, that's in line with growth rates in the second and third quarter of the year. And all the evidence suggests the economy really didn't get affected by the referendum vote. And it's an interesting one. You know, you saw the forecasts immediately after the referendum, and they were potentially for the growth to slow very, very sharply, even the UK to fall into recession, and it hasn't happened. So it's good news, but there are headwinds ahead, and, you know, we still think there's a likelihood that growth will slow over the coming year.
And certainly with the impact on business, we get more and more hints from banks who are operating there in the UK that jobs may be moving eventually, so they see something a little more clearly than the rest of us, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, businesses in general are facing an extreme amount of uncertainty about the future. You know, exporters don't know what sort of trade deal the UK will have with the European Union. Banks benefit from passporting. And all of that wraps up, and sort of we see this sort of uncertainty acting as a drag, really, on activity in the economy. Businesses are just going to put off making those big investment decisions because they're just not sure what the relationship is going to look like.
Now, what's the if you're a member of the MPC, real quickly, what do you look to in terms of setting policy? We've got about 20 seconds.
Well, the trade-off is still there. Inflation is in the UK is going to spike on the back of the fall in sterling. There's a little bit more growth momentum, as we've just discussed, but we still see growth slowing this year, and that's likely to remain the MPC's focus, and they're likely to leave rates and policy unchanged.
Dan, thanks a lot. Dan Hansen from Bloomberg Intelligence, our UK economist. This is Bloomberg.
Daybreak brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team by providing the skills you need for financial transformation. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Johnson & Johnson has agreed to buy Actelion for $30 billion. The deal has been months in the making and will be J&J's largest acquisition ever. Actelion's R&D operations will be spun off to its shareholders as a new publicly traded company, with J&J keeping a 16% stake. Shares of Actelion are currently trading up more than 20% in Zurich.
Stocks in Asia today climbing to their highest level since 2013 as part of the global rally sparked by the Dow Jones Industrial Average surpassed 20,000. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Gold and bonds were sold off, but stocks from Hong Kong to Tokyo jumped. Japanese equities rallied, led by financial shares, the topics capping the biggest two-day gain since November. In China, the Shanghai Composite rose by a third of 1%, despite reports China is said to be ordering banks to curb new loans in the first quarter, in yet another move to curb excess leverage in the financial system. In Hong Kong, stocks rose to a three-month high. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Next, Juliet, Royal Bank of Scotland says it will take a $3.8 billion charge in its fourth quarter results to account for an expected settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice. The DOJ is investigating the bank's sale of mortgage bonds in the lead-up to the financial crisis. Though timing of a settlement remains uncertain, the lender is using agreements reached by other banks to estimate the impact. Shares of RBS are trading higher on the news, up 5.5% in London.
We are watching some breaking news crossing the Bloomberg. Biogen reporting a fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg, its fiscal year revenue view trailed. In Italy, Fiat Chrysler expects its debt to fall by at least 45% this year as it enters the final stretch of a plan to sell more expensive vehicles. Fiat's financials are getting a boost from rising earnings, which gained 26% in 2016, as the company shifted sales to more lucrative SUVs and away from sedans. And Fiat Chrysler shares trading higher, up 3.3% in Milan.
Time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerful-outcomes-VIX. The VIX fell 2.3% yesterday to close at 10.81. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down another 1% to 10.71. That's this morning's Volatility Report. And checking the markets, a forward look at the markets. S&P E-mini futures currently up less than a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. Stay with us for world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street. The threat to sanctuary cities. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has that story and more now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Leaders in sanctuary cities across the U.S. say they plan to fight President Trump's executive order, cutting them off from federal funding. It was one of two executive orders on immigration signed by the president yesterday. New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark-Viverito.
If this is his idea, of immigration reform, and he did use that when he had his press conference and spoke about his executive orders. He's simply delusional.
The other executive order signed by Trump yesterday increases the number of Border Patrol agents and lays groundwork for building a wall along the border with Mexico. A White House official says President Donald Trump will sign a notice to Congress that he plans to start bilateral trade negotiations with most of the countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Pact. Earlier this week, Trump moved to pull the U.S. out of the 12-nation Pacific Rim Agreement, which he said would be damaging for American workers. Trump says he wants to negotiate with each country individually. President Trump's federal hiring freeze could affect some people who just got hired. Nathan Ager has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Office of Management and Budget is circulating a memo that says federal workers with start dates after February 22nd or without start dates yet could have those job offers rescinded. Politico reports the memo is also saying that those who are offered jobs on or before January 22nd or with start dates before February 22nd should still report. The memo says there could be exceptions for people who are in line for national security or public safety positions. Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
The death toll from Italy's devastating avalanche stands at 29 after the final bodies were pulled out of the rubble of a hotel crushed by tons of snow. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you very much. And Michael moves us to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Senior citizens, at least by tennis standards, are showing the way at the Australian Open. The women's final will be Venus versus Serena Williams. Not surprising about Serena. She won her match easily. She's made the finals in 8 of the last 10 Grand Slams. If she's going to surpass Steffi Graf for most Grand Slams won with 23, she'll have to beat her older sister, who won a three-setter with fellow American Coco Vandeweghe. Venus at 36 is turning back the clock. This is her first final in Australia since 2003. She had only reached one Grand Slam final since then. It'll be the 28th match between the two, the ninth time it's happened in a Grand Slam final. And then there's Roger Federer. He's 35, hadn't played since last summer's knee injury. He had a two-set-to-love lead on fellow Swede Stan Wawrinka. Now they're in the decisive fifth set. Another loss for the Knicks. Coach Jeff Hornacek after falling in Dallas 103-95.
You know, they did a good job of keeping the guys in front, and then, you know, we kind of got stuck, and, you know, we lost the handle on the ball, so you can't have 8 turnovers in fourth quarter expect to win a game. You know, they only had 7 for the whole game.
Carmelo Anthony had 7 himself, didn't score in the fourth quarter, though he had 30 for the night. This after a report that the Knicks made a trade offer to Cleveland, Melo for Kevin Love, and the Cavs rejected it. Knicks have now lost 14 of their last 18. The Nets have dropped 13 of 14, haven't won a home game since the night after Christmas. They blew an 18-point fourth quarter lead. Well, to Miami, 109-106. At the Garden, Flyers shut out the Rangers 2-0. First time the Rangers have been shut out since November. They hit the All-Star break in fourth place in the division. In the Big East, St. John's won. Seton Hall lost with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Legal challenges to the Clean Water Rule appear to be following along partisan lines, with mostly red states going to court. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
31 states are contesting the rule, saying it's a case of government overreach. And implementation comes with a high price tag.
If a water or a wetland falls under the Clean Water Act, then you're subject to all the permits, which can be costly, and all the Clean Water Act programs with which you have to comply, which require you to spend money to develop plans.
Bloomberg BNA's Amina Saeed.
Say you don't get a permit and you dredge and fill a wetland and you build a road or a power line, you can get penalties as high as $37,500 a day.
It hasn't even been decided which jurisdiction has oversight over these legal challenges, but President Trump has indicated he might withdraw the rule altogether, and that would render moot any pending legislation. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
There's always a fuss when the Dow reaches a big round number. The excitement is almost always overblown, and this particular milestone comes with the potential for misinterpretation. Dow 20,000 does not necessarily amount to a vote of confidence in President Trump's ability to deliver economic growth. The Dow has gained almost 10% since Trump was elected, and for good reason. His proposed policies would reduce corporate tax rates and cut capital gains rates. The mere possibility of such a windfall for investors leads them to bid up stocks. More money for investors, though, doesn't automatically translate into more more prosperity for everyone. Stock investors tend to be relatively wealthy and hence less likely to spend each added dollar they make. Companies, for their part, are getting conflicting signals. Lower taxes would be attractive, but Trump's meddling in hiring and investment decisions might push in the other direction. True, Trump's plan to increase infrastructure spending could boost growth more broadly. On the other hand, uncontrolled deficit spending could spook markets and leave the country deeper in debt. Dow 20,000 may be a milestone for investors, but it's not the measure American workers will use to judge whether the president delivers on his promises. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Here's the latest chapter in a story that began with a series of cautionary tweets about climate change from the official account of South Dakota's Badlands National Park. The tweets were hurriedly deleted, the Park Service later blaming an ex-worker who still had access to the account. Now the Trump administration is seeking to distance itself from reports of gag orders on scientific research and the removal of information from public websites, especially global warming data. The White House insisted the moves are temporary. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi seized on the report, saying the administration seems to be happy with a fact-free zone. The Washington Post, meantime, reports rogue Twitter accounts have popped up, purporting to be run by muzzled Environmental Protection Agency and National Park Service employees. A posting under the handle U.S. Science Service made reference to the threat of rising seas, tweeting, quote, "Honestly, if we're building walls, Florida could really use one around its entire coastline." That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Right now, S&P E-mini futures up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.5433. This is Daybreak. And the Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to higher this morning. This is the day after the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed 20,000. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. We are seeing modest gains in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently higher by 33 points. S&P futures gain a point, NASDAQ futures rise by 10. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.54%. Asia markets rallied overnight. Japan gained 1.8%, while Europe is also trading higher this morning, led by healthcare and the financials. Back in the U.S., a busy day on the economic front at 8:30. Wholesale inventories, Chicago Fed, and initial jobs claims. At 9:45, market U.S. services PMI. At 10 o'clock, new home sales. At 10:30, natural gas storage change. And at 11 o'clock, Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, eBay EPS beat estimates. Shares are up 7% pre-market. F5 Networks revenue missed. Qualcomm revenue also missed. And Mattel is down 10% pre-market after adjusted EPS missed the lowest estimates. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Potash Q4 EPS missed estimates. Whirlpool and Stanley Black & Decker were mixed. Biogen EPS beat estimates, although revenue missed, and Dow Chemical beat. In deal news, J&J sealed the $30 billion Actelion deal. Canada's AltaGas is buying WGL Holdings for $4.6 billion. And the Wall Street Journal said Alibaba's Ant Financial is said near a deal to buy MoneyGram. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. International Paper raised to buy over at Citigroup. Granger raised to hold at Deutsche Bank. Estee Lauder raised to outperform at Oppenheimer. And J&J cut to market perform at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawka Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it looks like President Donald Trump will sign a notice to Congress today that he plans to start bilateral trade negotiations with most of the countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Pact. That's according to a White House official. On Monday, Trump moved to pull the U.S. out of the 12-nation Pacific Rim Agreement, saying he wanted to negotiate with the countries individually. President Trump could sign as early as this week an executive action as ordering an investigation into the claims of voter fraud. Yesterday, Trump said he believes widespread voter fraud in November's election cost him the popular vote. There is no evidence to support Trump's claims. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks and the Nets lost. The Celtics and the Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers were shut out by the Flyers 2-0. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it is a victory for a temp receptionist and British working women. After about a two-year battle, a UK parliamentary committee finally ruled the outsourcing firm Portico broke the law by sending Nicola Thorpe home without pay for not putting on heels at least 2 inches high.
The new labor anthem, In These Shoes? I don't think so.
Oh, man. The New York Times reports Portico says it has rewritten its workplace codes. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View. It's safe to say the new Donald Trump administration has shattered all records for reports of internal turmoil in the first week. One possibility? Something seriously wrong with how Trump has structured his new staff. Republicans beginning with Dwight Eisenhower have used a strong chief of staff to run their White Houses. Democrats for decades resisted what worked for Republicans. But by the Obama administration, they had finally accepted it. Trump, however, has abandoned the successful Eisenhower model and appears to be using the failed Democratic style. He has a designated chief of staff, but a three or four or perhaps even five-headed organizational structure is a better description of what's happening. Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter could have predicted the results: a White House with competing factions, frequent leaks, and an air of chaos. We're only a few days in, and perhaps the real problem is the president and not his staff arrangements. But my guess, if the Trump administration ever does get on track, it will be after someone is put in charge. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
On a day when the Dow Jones Industrial Average breached 20,000, former Federal Reserve Vice Chairman and now Princeton University professor Alan Blinder reflected on the spirit of entrepreneurship in America.
The spirit of capitalism and of entrepreneurship in particular is flourishing. I mean, it's not just in Silicon Valley, which is the most obvious.
And there is a way, he says, for the government to kickstart even more startups. Reduce red tape.
We require licenses for all kinds of things. Now, some, of course, you want a license. You want your doctor to be licensed and so on. But there's lots of other things where, you know, barbers and hairdressers and things like that.
And another area to be explored, the treatment of capital gains for startup businesses. Blinder says there is something to the idea of offering tax breaks to people who start new businesses. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence addressing lawmakers at a Republican retreat in Philadelphia. U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May comes to the U.S. today and also addresses GOP lawmakers in Philadelphia. We will bring you her remarks live at 3:30 p.m. Wall Street time today on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Also making news in Washington is President Trump taking action on plans to build a wall along the border with Mexico. He's also expected to take measures to impose a temporary ban on the admission of refugees to the U.S. Joining us now with more on those developments is Bloomberg White House correspondent Tolu Olorunipa. Good morning. So yesterday during our preview, I asked you who was going to pay for this wall. And today we know that he still says 100% Mexico. Mexico's leader absolutely insists not us. Do we know how Mr. Trump plans to get over that wall?
Yeah, that's a big question. And there is supposed to be a meeting between these two leaders, the Mexican president and President Trump, next week. And it's unclear whether or not that meeting is going to happen now. We heard from Mexico's leader that he's offended by the idea that not only a wall will be built blocking off Mexicans from entering the United States, but also that Mexico would have to pay for that wall. So there's some tension that's starting to bubble up. And President Trump has said that he believes the American taxpayer will fund the costs for the wall, and then Mexico will reimburse 100% of the costs. But it's not clear how that's going to happen, especially with the Mexican government vehemently saying that they will never pay for the wall.
Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa is joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Now, the existing money that Donald Trump talks about, that really amounts to a small down payment. Do we know if he's going to get more money from Congress?
Yeah, that's a big question, because the president is sort of almost on his own when it comes to being so adamant about needing a wall, a physical barrier between the border, but along the full border of the United States with Mexico. The Republican congressional leaders have been a little bit timid. They don't actually believe that that's the best way to go, especially because it's so expensive, and we have a lot of fiscal conservatives that are leaving Congress, and they don't want to spend, whether it's $10 billion or $20 billion or $25 billion in taxpayer money with no clear a specific rationale that Mexico is going to repay that amount of money. So it looks like it's setting up to be a collision course between the Republican leadership and the White House on how they're going to get the money to pay this, to pay for this wall. And over the next few weeks, we'll see how that debate plays out.
And give us an indication of how broad this temporary ban on the admission of refugees to the U.S. is.
Yeah, we heard candidate Donald Trump talk about this for a long time during his campaign, and he seems to be trying to follow through on that promise, basically saying that at least for 30 days he's going to ban refugees from coming to the U.S., specifically from Syria. That's a place that he believes that he said it could be the greatest Trojan horse. He believes the terrorists are actually trying to use that refugee program to enter into the United States. So it is, at least for a temporary period, a very broad ban on refugees coming into the U.S. He says it's until the U.S. can figure out how to better vet the refugee program. We will see whether or not he enacts that for just 30 days or whether or not he puts it in place for longer. But it does affect a pretty widespread and large refugee program that we have, bringing in, you know, a lot of women and children from different parts of the Middle East and across the world.
Bloomberg White House correspondent Tolu Olorunipa, thank you very much for joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Coming up, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David, you are at the Wheels Up Power Breakfast.
Indeed we are today, Bob. Thank you very much. Kevin Roberts, former chairman of Saatchi & Saatchi, will join us here. We'll also speak with Bob Cinch. He's a global strategist with Ambers Pierpont. Tom Orlick, Bloomberg Intelligence's global chief Asia economist, rather, is in town from Beijing. And Tom mentioned a piece yesterday. Tom Keene mentioned a piece yesterday by Brad DeLong, an economic historian at UC Berkeley, on the politics of trade. We are fortunate to have Brad DeLong with us this morning. So a big show here, as you say, from the Pier Hotel. Bob?
Coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance, a quick wrap of the markets. Now here's Karen Moscow.
We continue to watch earnings here. Bob, Blackstone, fourth quarter economic profit beating analyst estimates. Dow Chemical, fourth quarter operating profit also beating. Biogen's outlook for revenue for the year missed analyst estimates, those shares moving lower. And Raytheon, fourth quarter adjusted continuing profit from continuing operations beat. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead.